So I can speak, because it's very tight around the neck. All right. Heroes of faith. We're going to be going over some heroes of faith. And as we do, I thought rather than start the first Sunday with our heroes of faith, as you can see, we don't have a picture of our first hero. I wanted to really go over what is faith. What is faith? And as we look at the heroes of faith, how many movies have come out in the last, say, 5 years about heroes? Oh my goodness, it seems like every week there's another movie opening up about heroes. And I don't know about you guys, but I really love superhero stories. I loved them as a kid. I'll never forget when I was older than I should have been, and it was Halloween, and I dressed up as Captain America, and my buddy, Mike, dressed up as a bad guy. And there was this area that basically four walkways feeded into this center area that was covered by these trees. And so we planned this whole thing that as kids would come with their bags of candy as they're walking, and we would only do it when we saw kids without parents. We were about 12 years old, 13 years old, and as the younger kids were coming with the bags of candy, Mike would jump out of the woods and demand their candy. And as he would demand their candy, I was dressed as Captain America, and I had my shield, which was one of those red toboggans with the paint on it, and I had all the stuffing, so, you know, at 13, I could really, you know. And I would jump out of the tree and land right in front of them. We had a whole fake fight that we staged, and we went through this fake fight, and then I would get the candy and return it to the kids, and they would go off, and we would, you know, they would sometimes cheer. It was a lot of fun, and every once in a while, they would just cry. they didn't fully understand he was saving you. So, but man, we love stories about heroes, and I think I know why. I honestly do, because the story of our Heavenly Father is the story of a true hero, is the story of where the people are unable to save themselves. And God comes and swoops down and he makes a way where there's no way. And he does for the people what they can't do for themselves. And he is the hero of the story. And it's a beautiful thing. Today, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 6 and starting in verse, right at the end of verse 2. 1 Timothy 6, 2b. These are the things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is the means to financial gain. I love this scripture because it gives this, it's from Paul, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's telling him, listen, guys, man, don't allow faith to become what you can try and get out of it. Don't allow your faith to be what you're trying to receive from it. And there's going to be all these different false teachings out there. And these false teachings are going to encourage you that faith is about you getting what you want from God. And guys, the world that we live in, the communities that we are a part of, the world, the media, this is a message that rings over and over again, is that it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about you. It's all about what you want. And what you want is really what you need. And that life is about you. And it's about me. And this scripture really leads us into this truth of don't allow it to become about you. Because Julie and I went to a wonderful Friday and Saturday. We went to just an amazing marriage conference. It was Paul Tripp. He's written many books, and many of you have probably read some of his books. And he's also a very, very good speaker. It was a wonderful time together. And one of the themes that I wanted to share, that thoughts that kind of came was the idea of the two kingdoms. The two kingdoms. We talked a lot about this weekend, and it just fits so perfectly into here. The one kingdom is self. The one kingdom is self. What I can do for me, it's all about me. And then there's another kingdom, and it's God's kingdom. And the one kingdom of self really focuses on, how do I get what I want in ministry? Like, this is, how do I use ministry to get things for me? In marriage, how do I use the other person to serve myself? At work, how do I use those relationships so that I can rise up? One is self, and it's looking at manipulation. And the other is really, it's about ministry. How do I serve? How do I love? How do I get involved? The main scripture or the theme scripture for this Sunday is from a little bit later in these verses, 1 Timothy 6:12, and we'll get there in a few minutes. But it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." And as we really look at the different heroes of faith that we're going to be going through, how they fought the good fight. How they fought against the right enemy, and how they did it in a way that brought honor to God, and really how they allowed God to battle and do the battles and go before them in battle. And so the first thing that we're going to look at is in faith, what is faith? How do we know what real faith is? Well, first of all, we have to go to the Word of God. We have to step into God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God." Guys, one of the things that was interesting on the mission field that was evident, missionaries had gone for many years out into the mission field, and people had come to the Lord. But many years ago, a lot of them didn't work with the people and set up churches and set up pastors and train and equip pastors. And so in developing countries, a lot of the places, like Uganda, where we served for 6 years as missionaries, a lot of places where we would go into, there would be pastors who didn't have the Word of God. And you guys have heard me share before that sometimes as the services in Uganda would go, sometimes it'd be 8-10 hours long. So we're not going to do that today. But sometimes, can you imagine, and the vast majority of that is preaching. Can you imagine preaching for 8 to 10 hours, 3, 5, 7, 10 hours without the Word of God? How do we bring what the truth is without knowing what God's Word is? Three kind of areas that I want to focus on faith today. Three aspects of faith is, the first one is knowledge. You can't believe what you don't know. Romans 13 and 14, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard?" As there are people in our communities, in our lives, and you know them, your friends, I pray that all of your friends are not in this church. Does that sound a little weird for the pastor to say? I pray that some of your friends are here. But I also pray that many of your friends are out there. And I pray that you are in places where a number of your friends don't know the Lord yet. And you're establishing relationships and sharing the truth with them. And you're on mission to bring them into the truth of the Word of God. Because, guys, we don't have the power in ourselves. I saw on ad for one of the movies, the Superman, Batman movie coming up. And one of the superheroes who has a real superpower says to Batman, what's your superpower? And he thinks about it for a minute and he goes, well, I'm rich. how do we, as those who are called to bring people to the one of God, we don't have the strength in and of ourselves, do we? But we are ambassadors of the one who is the answer to all of the people's needs and problems and pains. So we need to bring that knowledge in love and in truth and do it in ways that are real, guys. We need to not preach at people, but share with people. We can often lead people away from God if we're obnoxious with our faith, aren't we? If we're judgmental, if we're rude. But if we treat people and we come to people in love and minister to them where they're at and serve them, it's amazing what God can do. Another area, the first area is knowledge, but another area is agreement. Agreement, to agree with what we hear. It's not enough to just hear about truth. Guys, one of the greatest dangers in the church is this idea that if I just know about God and say a prayer, I'm good. Do you want to go to hell? No. Say this prayer. Well, that's a good option. I say a prayer. I don't go to hell. Okay, I'm in. Does it cost any money? No. Okay, I'm in. It's not about a prayer. It's not about doing. It's not about following and jumping through enough of the hoops. Coming to that place of agreement, and not just agreement of the head, but of the heart, of the soul. Coming to the place in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Guys, think about that. Do you have faith in what you cannot see? It's easy to believe in things we can see, isn't it? Has anybody here ever seen the face of God?
No.
Me neither. But we have a faith in have you ever seen the hand of God, the movement of God, the power of God, the love of God? Guys, we see God working in ways, and we've seen him work in ways in our lives. And one of the best ways to bring the faith to others, to show people what real faith is about, that it's not about rules, but it's about Jesus Christ, about what he's done on our behalf. And the best way to do that is by sharing with people what he's done with us personally. And as they hear the truth from the Word of God, and see what he's done in our lives, and we share from our own brokenness. Guys, we don't share from our strengths, from our successes. We share from where we were broken before God, where we had nowhere to go when he met us. And he was the hero of the story. And we share that truth. Other people can then come to that place of, there's got to be something more, and coming into that place of agreement with the truth of the Word of God. Also trust, knowledge, agreement, and trust. To rely on or receive it into your life. Guys, trust is hard to give, isn't it? Has anybody here ever trusted somebody very close to you and had that trust broken? And the pain of that brokenness. We don't turn around real easy and give that trust back again, do we? You see, trust is something that is extremely valuable. It's very valuable. And when we trust God to rely on him and to receive him into our lives and to trust that he is who he says he is and that he will do for us what he says he will do, there's a step of faith, a trust that requires incredible commitment. And I want to ask you, in the area of trust, are you trusting people more than you're trusting God? Are you trusting yourself more than you're trusting God? Are you trusting other things, the world that you've built around you? Because in the kingdoms that we have, one says, man, I'm going to trust myself. I'm going to believe that I'm going to come through this and I'm going to get things done. I'm going to live for me. And then the people around us become the things we need to move and manipulate so that our world is blessed. When we trust God, we come into the knowledge of His grace and love. And all of a sudden, things take on a whole new understanding. And now in faith, I serve. I don't manipulate, I minister. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of living. Let's continue on in 1 Timothy, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Back to those kingdoms, right? Back to the kingdom of me. Guys, we can be walking in faith and get sidetracked and start putting us a bit to the side, the things, the truth and the love of God, and get out of His will for our lives and into me and mine. And we start living these lives where we're using the people around us to get what we want. We're manipulating the situations. Guys, we've brought nothing in with us, have we? What are you living for? If we've brought nothing in and we can take nothing out, think about that. It's Father's Day. Guys, you work hard. You achieve some success. You get some stuff, right? And then you get some more stuff. And one of the challenges of this world and one of the warnings of the scripture is don't allow the consumption of getting more stuff to become your God, to become what you start following. In faith, the things of this world, we didn't come with them, we can't leave with them. What is the one thing, actually there's two things that I can think of. What are some of the things that we can take with us into eternity after this life? Take love, faith, take our relationship with God and the people around us, right? So we can take that real love, that relationship with God, that continues. And then the people around us who know the Lord, who received Him as the Lord and Savior, we will be with in eternity. Look around the room. Get used to seeing these faces. And the wonderful, bless you. And the wonderful news is that we also think of all the people. Think of all the people that don't know Jesus yet, that He is going to be blessing them through you and you and you. There are people right now who are so far from the Lord, they are living for themselves. And they are in a world of guck, of pain. They've caused pain all around them with the consequences of their sin. Just like we did, right? Just like we did. And yet, As heroes of faith, I want to, as we go on with this series, I want you to see yourself as the hero of faith, as the one who's the ambassador. That we don't have the S on the chest for Superman or Superwoman. We have the A, which is ambassador, which is we represent the one behind us, the one who went before us. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And so what we bring is that relationship with him, and we are called to go out and to minister and be men and women of God. That requires that we step out in obedience. Guys, it is very difficult to put yourself out there. It's a reality. If you share your lives with people, some things will happen. Number one, some people won't want what you are, how you are loving them. They won't be receiving of it. Other people, they'll be receiving of it, and they'll take advantage of it. I promise you, if you reach out to serve others, you're going to be taken advantage of. You're going to have people who misuse the situation, misuse your love. You're also going to have some people who are so blessed that they see the power of God. They see the love of God in your life. And something turns inside of them and they say, I want what they have. I want that assurance in the times where everything's falling apart, that life has meaning and purpose. The battle against good and evil, it gets messy. War is ugly. And as we are called to enter the battle zone, there are going to be some real ugly things around us. But we're called to go in faith. We need to step out in obedience. James 2, 17 and 18 say, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Does this mean we're only saved by what we do? I hope you don't hear that. We are not saved by what we do. We are saved by who we are in Christ. But real faith, a faith that changes, real faith, it transforms our lives, guys. It transforms our lives. We will be different because of our faith. And the difference will show in how we love people, how we minister to people. And the good news is we've got a Father who hears us and moves before us. Angel, you were sharing with me earlier how God had really spoken into your life this week, how you were in a situation with your rent not being paid. And how did God answer your prayers? No, here, actually.
Yeah.
Here you go.
God, he's so faithful. Like, this has something to do with my apartments. Jennifer, March, April, May. April, May, and June, they didn't accept my rent. So they gave me a three-day rent or vacate for my son and I to get out. And I was like, no, Lord, this ain't right. This ain't right. And they went up on my rent without giving me, the 30-day notice that my rent went up. So, of course, I said, okay, what can I do? It was about me. Lord, what can I do, Angel? What do you need to do? And the Lord said, no, Angel, let me be God. You do your part, and I'll do mine. So I had to get a lawyer because they tried to put $1,100 of late fees on me after they didn't accept my rent. So I went to the office and I sat down in a chair and I asked the landlord. I said, "Can you go ahead and accept my rent?" And one of the ladies like, "No, we're not going to accept your rent. We're going to go ahead and have an appointment with the housing." So the other lady came out and she goes, "Angel, we'll accept your rent." And I said, "Well, did you get the letter from the lawyer?" She was like, "No, what letter?" And then she went in there, she read the letter, she came out. She goes, oh, you know what? Let's go ahead and pay your rent. Everything's down to zero. Oh, there's three checks that have been sent to me in email, and the $1,100's been paid. So God is so faithful, and just to let me know, you know, everything is down to zero. He's so faithful. Whoo, just to trust him for everything. Not some things, but everything. Amen. And that's what he just showed me. Angel, just trust me, I got you. And he did. He had me the whole entire time. But of course, my faith. But what is faith without works? And I got on my knees. I said, Lord, he said, Angel, let go and let me. And I let go and I let him, and he did his work. Amen. He said, you get off the cross. Let me do my work. And Amen. That's what I did.
Amen. Thank you. You know, last Sunday when I came in, Angel was sitting right where she was, and her head was down, and she looked like she was about to burst into tears. And now you hear her sharing her testimony about how God is faithful. 7 days. I tell you, we have a God who comes in, gets involved, and saves the day. We have a God who hears the prayers of his people and doesn't just say, oh, I hope the best for, he gets involved. And he opens up doors that weren't open. He opens up hearts and minds. Guys, when we come into the battle, boy, I tell you, life is a battle, isn't it? And when we come in with the one who has gone before us. The last section of Scripture, 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 16. But you, O man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus who will, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Amen. Guys, we need to escape the lies of the enemy. We need to escape the things of this world that will just tempt us and cause us to come in and make decisions and choices that will bring us into a world of hurt and cause behind us a wake of pain for other people, of discouragement. As it's Father's Day, gentlemen, I want to say to you, fathers, and those of you who may be fathers someday, what do you want to leave behind you? What do you want to have remembered about you? What do you want your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, what do you want their lives to be about? What's the wake that you want behind you? What do you want it of blessing? Do you want them? Have you ever been water skiing and one of the reasons that you're able to get up out of the water is the boat is creating the water to be moving forward. So as you hit that water, now I'm a little heavier than most people with my size, and so it takes me a while to get up out of the water on one ski. So when I say hit it, I'm dragging behind that boat for a long time, and the boat goes, and then it hits my weight, and it's, right? And eventually, you come out. But even in the rough waters, you're able to come out because the boat is moving forward. It's causing the water to go in a certain way, and the wake is moving the water forward. We want to be living lives that the people behind us are going in the right direction. It's going to be rough at times. At times they're going to fall, and it's going to be hard for them to get back up. But if the wake is going, if we're leading, our children have a blessing. And I want to encourage, once again, for we have a number of single moms, praise God, in our church family. And the men of this church, we commit to being fathers, father figures to your sons and daughters. Amen. Guys, do we commit to that? Do we commit to it? Do we commit to loving the children in a way that brings them up in the truth of Jesus Christ? Not just the truth of the church, but the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to step into the battle. We need to get involved. Guys, we need to be willing to get our hands dirty. We need to be willing to get into life with people. We need to be willing to get hurt at times. We need to be willing to be taken advantage of at times. Because as we earn the right to be heard in people's lives, a day may come where they will turn and say, I want something real. Who do I know who has something real? And as you've been the one wearing the A on the chest of ambassador of Jesus Christ, it's a chance for God to use us in the lives of the people around us to show them the love of Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. I want to end with this, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have an enemy who's trying to get us to live the lie and to believe his lies as truth. And our struggle isn't against our brother and sister who are doing things differently than us. Because the kingdom of the world says, live for you and they're against you. And so you put them, you get past them. Or you use them or you manipulate them or do what you need to do to get what you want. It's the lie of the enemy. The lie of the enemy says, use the people. But our struggle is not against each other, is it? Our struggle is not even against the person that you really don't like who's not here. That person is not our struggle. That mother, that father, that brother, that sister, that friend who became an enemy. That enemy who became a worse enemy. That coworker. Our struggle is not with them. And you may say to me, you've never seen this person at my work. Spend 5 minutes with them, you'll think differently, Pastor. We all have those people in our lives, don't we? We all have those relationships. And they're most painful when they're closest, close friends or family, relationships that have been broken. But our struggle is not in flesh and blood. Our struggle is against an enemy who plants seeds, who tells us lies that it's all about us, who try and get us living for ourselves. And guys, I just want to end today with asking a question. Where in your life are you hearing the lies of the enemy? Are you hearing lies about guilt and shame? Are you hearing the lies that, you know what, you call yourself a Christian, but look at your life here. And so you're constantly living in guilt and shame because you're not measuring up to the believers that you know? Or maybe you're on the other side and you're really struggling because things are going well and your walk is strong, and every time you come to other people who are struggling, you have nothing but, what's wrong with you? Why don't you get it? And there's an arrogance and a rudeness to other people because, look at my life, I've got it together. Both are wrong, aren't they? It's just one ditch or the other. We're called to be on the road, on the path. We need to get out of the ditches and onto God's path for our lives. And that means choosing the kingdom of God. Choosing what is real life. Choosing to love others even when we're being judged. Choosing to be the hero with the A of ambassador of Christ as we go into the world that we've been called in. Are you willing to get your hands dirty? Are you willing to join Christ in what he's done? Because when Jesus Christ got involved, he not only got bloody, he not only paid for us through the crucifixion physically for us, was whipped and mocked, fully man, fully God, without sin, taking our sin on himself. He only not only experienced the physical pain of my sin, but he experienced the emotional and relational separation from the Father and the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, in full unity. I don't fully get it. But in perfect unity, God himself is divided amongst himself as Christ is taken, and he becomes our sin, is taken on him. And what do we know about God and sin? Do they go together? No. And so God dealt with our sin, died for our sins, took our sins upon himself, left the sins in the grave, and rose again. Guys, what a hero. What a hero. He conquered death. There's no greater hero in the world. No movie. All those movies that we see are really taking pieces of the story of Christ. Man was without an answer, and he turns to God, and God provides a way. Do you know him? Do you know him by faith? We're going to hit some really incredible people of faith. We're going to be looking at both men and women of faith from the Word of God, from Old Testament and New Testament. And we're going to be also looking at some people throughout history who, because of their faith in God, in Christ Jesus, live lives that were amazing. And I'm excited as we go on this journey, but I want us to remember, as we come to these men and women, it's not that we put them on the pedestal and worship them, but it's that we understand the reason that they're incredible men and women of faith because of what Christ has done in their hearts and minds and lives. And so I want to leave us with, what is it that I need to put away? What is it that I need to give to the Lord at the foot of the cross and say, I can't deal with this. I've been trying to use my strength and my power, but I'm Holy Spirit, you are the hero. I'm going to trust that you can take this from me. Take this from me. Take this burden from me. Take this guilt. Take this shame. Take this arrogance. Take this self-trust. Take it from me. I choose to worship you and you alone. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you know our hearts, Lord. You know where we've failed. You know where we've lived for ourselves. Father, you know where we struggle. Lord, you continue to meet us. Lord, I just thank you that... I thank you, Lord, that you met Angel in her moment of need, in her turning to you, you answered, Lord. That you changed the hearts of the people involved. Father, you saw your daughter, and you were the perfect, loving father. And that, Lord, here on Father's Day, Angel can testify about her Heavenly Father and how her Father has met her needs. Lord, we are grateful. We're grateful for who you are, for what you've done. Lord, we desire now to get in the battle with you. Lord, we know who you are by the truth of your word. We've seen your truth in our lives. Now we choose to get in the battle, to come alongside what you are doing, to be moved and empowered by you, Lord. I pray that the lies of the enemy, that we aren't enough, would fall away. The lies of the enemy that say, don't get involved, don't give too much of your heart and yourself. It'll be too painful. Lord, may we follow your lead in love, with a love that is not manipulating, but selfless. And giving, self-sacrificing. Lord, thank you for each person here, Lord. Thank you for our kids downstairs and our teens. Lord, we pray that they would grow up in your love and truth, the truth of Jesus. Lord, we pray that, Lord, as some in the last month have come to faith in you, Lord, we pray that you would be with them. And for those downstairs and up here who don't know you yet, Lord, we pray that they would see you. They wouldn't just know about you, but they would know you intimately and personally and come to trust you and put their faith in you. Lord, we pray for this series, Heroes of Faith, men and women who have followed your lead, who have gone forward in your strength and might and power, and most of all in their identity in you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bless them. Lord, we pray that you would bless the stories of each one of these people in our lives, that we would see faith for what it is, that it's about you and not about us. Bless us and make us a blessing to many, Lord. Give us new areas and opportunities to live out our faith this week in the lives of people that we know, that we associate with, Lord. May we be a blessing to many. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.